There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And a reminder, this Tuesday is the second Tuesday of the month. It's your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour. So your questions, send them to the text line and the phone line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, you can leave us one of those talkback messages when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app. Which, by the way, if you haven't gotten it, take a second. It's at the App Store for iOS users, Google Play for Android users. Just look for FMTALK1065. That's our app. Download that, baby. You can stream the station, get our podcast there, get all the traffic map information there, also show schedules, all that good stuff. But it lets you text and call from the app and also leave us that talkback message using the microphone icon at the bottom of the screen there. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show as well. All right. So good to get this man on, as we talked about on yesterday's show. The timing is good. Probably would have leaned on him to get him on anyways as well. We are joined by Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Thanks for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Always happy to do it.
Okay. I'm going to do something probably, you know how I do things different. I'm going to do things different than most of the TV people and the people have been asking you questions this week. I'm going to go back in history, and then we're going to bring it back up like a, you know, like a flashback in a movie. Conversations we've had over time. That's what, you know, I said when the story came out over the weekend. I said, well, listen, sheriff's talked about this in the past. I want to go back to what you've done with the sheriff's office in Pritchard in the past, why y'all have had to be called in to Pritchard to work inside the municipality in the past. Can you bring people up to speed with that?
Yeah, I mean, Pritchard has long been neglected, you know, by their police department for years. And, you know, when I took office, you know, I decided I was going to try to do what I could to, you know, put a stop to that. And we get calls, multiple calls weekly, and have throughout the years, asking for assistance, you know, for very basic services. They call for police service and people don't show up. And so, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of violent crime that occurs in Pritchard and are committed by thugs who live in Pritchard and the criminals. And so we started targeting them, and, you know, most of them are gang members, and we've made a real laser focused effort to arrest those individuals, and we're continuing to do so today.
And it's because, for people to understand, just a little remedial here, maybe most of the audience understands, but your responsibility as the sheriff is to the entirety of Mobile County, even if there is a municipality over the top of it.
Absolutely.
That is the job.
And it's my privilege to do so.
So it all matters to you. And so, you know, also to talk about the frustration with the gun violence. Somebody got mad at me the other day and said that I was calling it gun violence, just call it violence. No, I'm talking about teenagers to 15 to 20, and most of the time 15 to 25-year-old black children and men is what dominates, even though there's white folks in it as well. But the story, this gang warfare that's going on, where my heart breaks, and I heard it in your presser, and I've heard you talk about it on the show. My heart breaks like yours, because we're not talking about a bad guy shooting a bad guy. Bad guys try to shoot bad guys, and they kill and injure children and grandmothers and mothers and innocent people. It's seemingly on a monthly, if not a bi-monthly basis.
Unfortunately, that has been the case, and that's what has me so frustrated. And that's why I made the statement that I made, and I still stand by what I said.
So you said, and you can paraphrase what you said, re-quote yourself what you said to people that did not hear about this from over the weekend and yesterday. What did you say about the gang activity?
I said, if gang members are hell-bent on killing one another, then let's round them up, put them in a place where they can only harm one another and where innocent bystanders are safe from the violence.
Yeah. In other words, y'all can go do this, leave the rest of us out of it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's if they are that hell-bent on killing one another for unknown stupid reasons, and then put them in an area where they can just do that and no women, children, or grandparents, you know, get murdered or shot in the process.
Yeah, thinking about this, there's so many ways to go. One of them is conversations I've had with folks in your line of work over the years. I've asked a similar question. Why don't they just, maybe I had a Pollyanna view. Why don't they just, the two bad guys go face off down an alley or something, you know, just take, and I've heard this, that sometimes it's that they're afraid of that straight on confrontation. They find a crowd, they find an event to shoot up because they're using that to kind of hide in plain sight.
Yeah, the men aren't men anymore, you know, that are involved in some of this violence with the gangs. You know, none of them are willing to get in a fist fight and or talk out their differences. They immediately go to a gun, and, you know, that bullet doesn't know where it's going when that trigger's pulled.
No, especially when you shoot into a house or a car, but let's talk about the house. And I was, you know, you talked several times with us about legislation, as you do, the things that were up in Montgomery during session, about increasing the penalty for shooting into. And I thought this was kind of going to be slam dunk legislation, getting this passed.
Well, we actually did get it passed this year. We had to take a different route to get it passed.
Right, but it had to change, right? I mean, you couldn't get it.
It did.
What were the changes? Because I guess first, what did y'all ask, and then what did the kind of the amended version look like?
Well, what happened, we were simply trying to upgrade it, shooting into an occupied vehicle, building, or home, make it a Class A felony instead of a Class B or C, which, you know, affects a higher, if not no bond, and longer prison terms if you're convicted. So that failed last year. The Democrats, you know, had a concerted effort to kill it, and so we wrapped it up in a crime bill, a package that the governor was in support of, and we're able to get it passed this year. Now, one amendment that I'm going to try to do for the next session is, because of some recent things we've seen in Mobile, Baldwin County, at some of their events, I want to include shooting into a crowd into that, you know, Class A felony.
Can you, I'll ask you a question. I guess you'll tell me if you can talk about it or not. But in the shooting that went on at the Sanger Theater during the girls' dance recital, it was aimed towards other people and maybe towards the stage. That's what I've heard.
I mean, I've seen the video. It's right at the stage, basically. And, you know, it could have been a lot worse, you know, but even though no children were struck, there are a lot of children who are traumatized from having witnessed that and been in the middle of it.
And
I was shocked because, you know, my family and I go to the Sanger a lot for different events, and, you know, they've always had metal detectors and, you know, security at the front door, you know, but I was told that, you know, that's dependent upon the person who's renting it out, if they're willing to pay for that. I think that has since changed.
But, I mean, at a certain point, and you're right, I mean, I said that when it happened, I hadn't been to an event where I didn't have to go through the magnetometer at the Sanger, but at a certain point, we can't magnetometer every place we go in the city and in the county.
You cannot.
I mean, there's a certain, I mean, yes, I understand security, but damn it, this was a little girl's dance recital. I mean, I've sat through these things. Now they're torturous when it's not your kid dancing, but it's not the place I ever thought there would be violence. Never.
Nor would I have think something like that would happen at a children's dance recital, and it's really unconscionable.
So,
you know, and again, it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. You know, the guy wasn't man enough. You know, yeah, he was shoved. He wasn't man enough to duke it out or take it outside. You know, he immediately pulled his gun and started shooting.
And you know, you talked about the people, the children that were traumatized by it. You and I are both dads, right? Got a little girl. She'll tell you she's pretty grown now, but still my little girl. Sat through dance recital. I can't imagine having the conversation, riding back home from the dance recital. What I got to tell, you know, I'm picturing back when she was 7 or 8 years old at a dance event, just got done doing whatever tap number or whatever jazz, whatever it was, and then I got to explain to her what just happened. I shouldn't have to.
No parent should ever have to explain something like that in what should have been a fun, family-friendly event.
So this question, we're going to come back from the break here, to put them all somewhere, let all the bad guys, let all the gangsters, let all the tough guys go shoot it out somewhere. They're probably not going to sign up for that to happen. But when we come back, I want to talk about how we as a community can maybe push them in the direction to leave the rest of us alone. We're coming right back. And your chance to ask the sheriff with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Burks right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1221 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Your chance to ask the sheriff. We'll get your questions from the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Continue now with Sheriff Burks. I want you to react to this. I know you did, but I'm going to have you react again, because when I read this yesterday, I went off on my own tear. But in commentary here, back towards you from Pritchard Mayor Jimmy Gardner, he said, quote, that it's not only inappropriate and reckless, but it also undermines the seriousness of the crisis we are facing and the dignity of the community he, being you, Sheriff, has sworn to serve and protect.
Well, you know, first of all, if he wants to talk about a crisis, it's because he has been an absentee mayor for most of his term. You know, and I get that from the citizens there frequently. When they do try to go voice their concerns, he's either not in the office or he's in there with the door locked and won't meet with them. So, you know, I don't know how he would say I'm undermining the seriousness of it. The whole point of it is I'm fed up, and that's about as serious as I can be about it. You know, now, is that reality that we're going to round folks up and let them kill each other? No. But I care about the protection of innocent people. And, you know, another point I'll make is, you know, just because, let's say, some of the gang members in Pritchard are doing what they're doing, they don't stay in Pritchard. But they, you know, commit their crimes in all areas of the county. So I will try to contain them, you know, in an area that they're from, because it's a lot easier to catch them there.
To go back to the quote, I mean, if it was that, I agree with you, and most of us right-thinking people agree with you that this is a very serious crisis. But if the mayor thought it was that serious, what has he done? What has he done?
I mean, what he's done is failed to provide the most basic police service to protect the citizens of Pritchard. I mean, that they don't respond to a lot of calls. They if they show up, it's hours, if not days later. And it's just, you know, he has a failed administration under his leadership.
I will say this, look at like one of the texts coming in here from Tim. Obviously, Tim sent this before you just spoke, said, I know the sheriff can't say it, but this Gardner fella, Mayor Pritchard, is a clown. Myself and everyone I know support the sheriff and the entire sheriff's department. I can't think, you kind of said it yourself, Sheriff.
I mean, I'll say it again. He has failed the city, as the mayor, he has failed the city of Pritchard.
Jason asking, does Sheriff Birch believe our local judges are as serious as he is about violent crime? Also, as a resident of the Pritchard area, I thank the sheriff for his involvement.
I think most of them are. That's judges are humans, and some will give a higher bond or a harsher penalty than others. But I think they're fed up with the violent crime that we're seeing too. Especially, I've had meetings with all of them, especially the shooting intos. That's something that they can all agree on and give people well-deserving sentences when they're convicted.
You know, and somebody had asked here, now it's gone back. So they're asking if it was a temporary or I'm paraphrasing for them now, but a temporary or full-time. Oh, here it is. From this texture, was the Pritchard Task Force temporary or permanent?
Well, it's not a Pritchard Task Force. It's, y'all heard me talk about my Special Operations Division, 40 plus deputies that are proactive. They don't respond to answer, calls for service, and I can deploy them any area of the county I want to. And that's who I use in Pritchard the majority of the time. So that's just been an ongoing mission of mine. So I guess you would call that permanent. And, now we're not answering calls for service like, your house burglarized or, car stolen. That's still left up to Pritchard. But again, that's some of the complaints that we're getting, is they're not showing up to write those reports.
Say that again for people to hear, because you've talked about it before with us, but they're not showing up to write the report. They're not even responding.
And that's bad in a couple of ways. Number one, it's bad service to the citizens. Number two, if that report's not written and that crime not documented and go into the national database where we get our UCR reports that we get annually, then it'd make Pritchard look like they don't have a whole lot of crime. And we all know that's not the case.
How do we, with this shooting into, I keep waiting for these sea change moments, Sheriff. From at a dance recital to a toddler in bed with the parents getting shot in the face, that the community will say, all right, we are going to start. We know who did this, and we're going to tell you right away. We're going to shun these people. We're enough of it. That the community goes, I can't be scared of them anymore. I'm going to tell.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to take. And, we canvassed that entire apartment complex when that 2-year-old was shot in the face. Nobody saw anything. Nobody knows anything.
Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that's true, that no one knows anything?
It's absolutely not true. They know who's beefing with one another. And, that's those particular apartments are have frequent gunfire. Now, some of the citizens did tell us they hear gunfire there all the time, so it's not anything that shocks them. And but I will say a couple of people did send in some anonymous tips that was helpful. And again, I understand that they're afraid. If somebody would just shoot into your house, what's to stop them from shooting in theirs when they find out they talk to law enforcement? So I do understand the reality of that. But it's going to take the entire community in the Pritchard area to stand up and say, okay, enough is enough. And, again, not advocating violence, but if you see something like that and you feel threatened, you do what you got to do, to protect your family.
But there's got to be this point, and good that they're giving you some tips from around that area. There's got to be a point where somebody says, I understand the human emotion going, when y'all leave law enforcement, I'm by myself with these bad guys again. But there's a certain point, like shooting a toddler in the face, that brings bravery out of us when we don't know we have it.
It does. And, it's surrounded by this gang activity that for so long has been denied, its existence has been denied. And I don't know what kind of law could be created, but, the shooters were shooting at the 16-year-old brother of the child who was shot.
Yeah.
Because he was in a gang who's been going to war with the other gang. There needs to be some accountability there as well.
Yeah, and I pointed out when the story came out, too. You know who was not in the gang, though? The two-year-old toddler.
The two-year-old.
The two-year-old was not in the gang.
It's almost like the, if you go back, you know, I guess a year and a half ago, you had the nine-year-old mm-hmm. that had been shot for the second time in a year.
That was a story on the connector.
Going down the interstate, you know, because his brother was in a gang.
But he wasn't. The nine-year-old wasn't.
He was not. But
he ends up getting shot.
It's a hell of a thing for a nine-year-old to be shot, but twice in a year.
Yeah. I mean, not y'all. If y'all don't remember that story, not just in that same moment, he had already been shot in that same year and then was shot again. We're coming right back. More with Sheriff Burks right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35, Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. That's my buddy Forrest at the location in Orange Beach and here on the East I-65 Service Road in Mobile. You know, we talked about before snapper season got here, or really boating season, which is kind of year-round. But before the spring got here, we talked about getting that service work done on your Yamaha engine because they got a... They're a Pro Elite service facility. They got a master check on staff. Also do great work on Mercury engines. Talked about getting that work done beforehand. But what if you had a couple weeks or a couple months now getting out on the boat and stuff's not exactly right? They still can get you in to do that service work on those engines and also everything else on the boat. If you ask them to, they'll check everything from the bow to the stern, not just your engine, but what about running lights? What about bilge pumps? All those pieces of equipment they can check out as well. And if you do the work yourself, you need to call Kelsey in the parts department. She is a guru when it comes to parts for Yamaha and Mercury engines. You can call her. If you got the serial number from your engine, she'll let you know the part you need. Most likely they have it in stock. If not, they get it overnight. And then you can get that part the next day to do the work you need to do. So call, schedule your service or parts visit at 476-2699, 476-2699. And you can check them out online. Get all the information at bluewateryachtsales.net. And continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Burch. And just a couple more here about Pritchard specifically have come in on the text line. So let me get to these. B-Dark asked, Sheriff Burch, do you trust any officials in Pritchard, any of the officials?
Yeah, there's a couple that I do have a long-time relationship with, and I can say that I trust them, but they're few and far between.
Wow. David asks, says the Pritchard police officer that was arrested over in Gulfport for kidnapping. A man was under administrative investigation when he resigned from MPD and took a job with the Pritchard Police Department. What role can the sheriff play in ensuring that we are not transferring often disciplined cops from one police force in the county to another?
Well, you know, the sheriff's office, and I know Mobile PD does a pretty extensive background, so things like that will usually pop up in a background. But APOST, who is the certifying agency for law enforcement in Alabama, put in rules last year that if you or any disciplinary action has to be sent to them within, I think, 30 days. And if you resign under investigation, that, you know, we as law enforcement agency has to send that to them, and they will suspend that certification until there's a hearing about it. So, yeah, so there are mechanisms that have been put in place that will hopefully stop some of that.
Tim says, Sean, most people don't know it, but the reason Pritchard police are not coming in because most of the time they don't have enough vehicles that are running to report to all the crimes that are committed.
That's probably partially true. You know, but I will say,
wouldn't that be the responsibility of the police chief and the mayor? Wouldn't that be?
It is. Okay. It is to provide the equipment that they need to do their job. But I will say that most of them, you know, have service vehicles that are good enough to go work side jobs because we see them around town all the time.
You know,
I'll give you an example. You know, of not, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing. I've got a relative that works in a local gun store, and he was telling me last week, Pritchard police officer came there on duty, And this gun store is in, like, way west Mobile. And on duty, you know, got on the radio a couple times, was looking at guns, was there for quite some time, then went back home and picked up a gun that he wanted to come trade.
While he's on his shift?
I'm all about, say again?
While he's working? He's doing all this?
Yep.
Huh. Oh, that seems like that's not, you know, I'm actually pretty good with geography. That's not the jurisdiction.
It'd take a minute to get back to Pritchard if there were some type of emergency.
All right. Let's see. Unnamed texter saying, I would like to thank the sheriff and his force for all the work they do. A couple more. Yeah. Thank you, Sheriff Birch, for the work you're doing in the county and in Pritchard. Pat says, let it be known that it's a crime to knowingly lie to an officer during an investigation. Maybe that could help. This one from an unnamed texter said, Sean, if we only had the money to keep an officer on the block, on every block at all times, since that can't be a reality, can we get more incentives from law enforcement to purchase more camera systems so we at least help law enforcement solve cases quickly? My family paid extra for cameras, but we were never mentioned or assisted when we'd help the police with our footage.
Well, you know, is that something you really want mentioned? You know, again,
right,
that's
true.
You know, we're always, you know, a lot of folks, we appreciate their help and you know, certainly give them credit. But do you really want that to be public and potentially face, you know, retaliatory action?
You know, the point you made about the side jobs and the vehicles, several people were texting in about this. Michael said, yeah, I never understood why Ignatius, so he means say Ignatius, had Pritchard PD doing campus security when they couldn't secure Pritchard.
Because of the, they even side jobs, you know, I'll be the first to say they are way underpaid. I mean, absolutely underpaid. But they also, you know, undercut other agencies for, you know, the hourly rate for side jobs, and that's probably, you know, boils down to money.
I mean, that's, and so wouldn't that be, I'm just going back, wouldn't that be to the leadership of the city's responsibility, the city of Pritchard, to make sure they pay them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pay them, you know, what they need to be paid. And
demand, you get better officers and demand more from them.
If you had better, you know, here's one of my biggest things that I've seen with Pritchard and not being able to keep officers. You know, they're part of their own retirement system, and they've gone bankrupt several times. You know, they won't become part of RSA, which is state retirement, because you're not going to hire somebody who's going to stay in Pritchard their entire career. So,
right.
What incentive is it to go there?
Yeah. So this is a problem from the top.
It is.
Squirrel Vereen on the text line says, I would love to hear the sheriff's assurance to the law-abiding public that rioting or interfering with law enforcement operations will not be tolerated. This kind of thing should be in a public service announcement. So your reaction to that, of course, is all in the backdrop of Los Angeles.
It is, and you know, we're getting some intel that there may be some protests in Mobile this weekend, and we're preparing for it. I've, you know, had frequent conversations with the Mobile police chief. But let me say that I watch the things that happen around the country, and you know, not just in LA, but some of the other, you know, unrest that's been going on. And it's not protesting, it's rioting. But it angers me when I see these rioters trying to pull barricades out of the hands of police officers and shoving police officers to try to grab the barricades and break the perimeter. I can tell you they do that in Mobile, Alabama. The orthopedic hand surgeons are going to have one hell of a weekend to start fixing hands. Because, I mean, that's, you know, that barricade can become a weapon. And one thing I will say, too, and I saw some of the firebombs being thrown.
Mm-hmm.
That's deadly force. And our policy is you meet deadly force with deadly force. And I'll leave that at that.
Do you think in Los Angeles those officers are making that decision on their own, or they're being told to stand down from above?
I think they're being told to stand down, but I think they're afraid to protect themselves because they'll end up in jail themselves. You know, I cannot imagine living in a place like that. You know, I got just, you know, I was in disbelief when, you know, ICE was calling for help because they were, you know, being overrun, and LAPD refused to go assist them. That's just unthinkable.
I mean, in the brotherhood of law enforcement, it seems unthinkable. I'm not even in it, just watching y'all from a distance.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I see all these things going on, and I'm sure I'll get some blowback on my statements on this too, but there is nothing in the law that says you have to stand by while people are shoving you or throwing stuff at you. I mean, that's a weapon. Regardless of what you throw, that is a weapon. And I would strongly discourage them from behaving that way down here.
Yeah, Fire Dog on the text line said, if rioting were to happen, I would assume that you have a plan. And number two, can you share it? I don't know if you share your plan, but...
Well, I mean, we're not going to share ops plans, but like I said earlier, Mobile Police Chief and I have been in constant contact. You know, should something like this, you know, kick off in Mobile. But yes, there is a plan in place.
You can swell your forces too, because Fire Dog, who I'll say knows his way around stuff, said, if rioting does happen, can I be deputized to knock some heads? Always happy to help, he says.
Anything's within the realm of possibility if it gets bad enough. but I'll say this, and again, this is applies to some of these situations around, you know, the country. They're acting that way because they're allowed to act that way. If they physically assault law enforcement, you know, burn down a store, loot a store, you do what you got to do. And after people see that a few times, it'll stop because they don't, you know. And I'll just put this out there, my philosophy on someone who attacks law enforcement. It's the responsibility of that officer to make sure that that person never wants to do that again to another police officer, because the next police officer may not handle himself quite as much. And I'm not saying abuse anybody. If they're actively fighting, you do what you got to do to make sure they never do that again.
So that's the policy, or that is what y'all do at Mobile County Sheriff's Office?
Yes. If you put your hands on one of us, you're not going to just say, don't do that again, please. So, and again, we're not going to abuse anybody, but we're not going to stand for you putting your hands on us.
There's a texter asking, could there be the National Guard sent to Pritchard? If something, if it got even lawless there, like they're talking about doing.
We haven't gotten to that point yet, but, you know, I'm hoping, and I don't mind sharing, you know, if a couple of the mayoral candidates and some of the people running for city council from Pritchard have met with me several times, and they said if they get elected, their proposal will be to contract with the sheriff's office, much like Sims did before Sims got their police department up and running. And that'd be definitely be in the best interest of the city of Pritchard, citizens of Pritchard.
Michael asks, if a group of rioters were to block a car or traffic, would a person who's afraid be arrested for driving through?
Absolutely not. And you know, there's also legislation, and I don't know if it passed or not or yet, but there's legislation out there that if you do so, you cannot be charged criminally or civilly. So, but you're not going to block the, you know, if.
Because we've seen that in other cities. I mean, that's definitely right. Happened.
They threatened to block the tunnel a couple of years ago when some of the stuff was going on. And, you know, Ashley Rich was still the DA then, and she made it very public that if you block the tunnel, you're going to get run over, and nothing's going to happen to the people who run over you, plain and simple.
John saying it's just a damn shame we can't dissolve Pritchard. Let Mobile, Chickasaw, and Saraland annex equal parts. It would only be 7,000 residents apiece.
You cut out for just a second on that question.
John just said, he said it was a damn shame that we can't dissolve Pritchard. So let Mobile, Chickasaw, and Saraland annex equal parts of Pritchard. It would only be 7,000 residents apiece for those three municipalities.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of possibilities, you know, but I hope that there will be, you know, some stronger leadership to get elected and maybe get a handle on some of this stuff and you know, become a functional police department again. But I will say they've had a lot of difficulty for a long time.
Angry Patriot says, Sean, let the hardworking sheriff know how much we appreciate his persistence and hard work, and he has the people's support. Sheriff, make sure to get some good R&R. Thanks again.
Well, thank you.
This is from unnamed texter. Oh, it's retired on the text line. He said, I'm so glad that the sheriff thinks that way about what officers have to do to make sure it doesn't happen again. Hallelujah.
Well, I was a street cop for a long time, and that's truly how I feel. And because I've seen officers that were seriously injured when they were trying to, I guess, minimize the situation rather than do what they needed to do. You know, and a lot of it is people are afraid because of cameras. Because everybody's got cameras nowadays on their cell phones. But as long as you're doing the right thing and can articulate why you did what you did, you'll be okay. I have my policy, and every one of my deputies knows this. If you make a mistake, we can overcome almost anything. But if you lie about something, you're done. And that's really the way we run things at the sheriff's office. As long as you're doing the right thing. You may make a mistake here and there, but we got you back if you're doing the right thing.
And we're coming right back. More with Sheriff Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Your chance to ask the sheriff at the text line 343-0106, which, by the way, I'm going to get this one as we get started. Matt had texted in, said, listening to his stances on deadly force, that's the reason why Sheriff Birch is sheriff. Mobile County is fortunate to have an advocate for his deputies. That's from Matt.
Well, thank you, Matt. And that's that's the way things are supposed to be.
The let's see, Sam T says, I have to ask you that one off the air there. I'm going to also be your receptionist here.
Okay,
working on that. IT Jesus says, I think this community, the local citizens, have law enforcement's back. Maybe that's maybe saying that's different than Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very different culture down here, and we're fortunate that, the citizens in Mobile and around the South, have the backs of law enforcement, and I'll say that's through most of the country, other than these just radical left communities that, they think they can survive without law enforcement. They want you to just send caseworkers to go take care of the problem.
I mean, you point out once again, you're using it as a comparison, when somebody throws a firebomb, Molotov cocktail, whatever you want to call it, and you see those officers having things like that rain down on them in Los Angeles, you said that is, it's a deadly weapon, right? That's the use of deadly force.
That's deadly force. Yeah, that is a deadly weapon. It can not only, especially Molotov cocktail, not only get the intended target, but people surrounding it. And, I've made a statement months ago, it may have been last year, that I'll put those kind of projectiles in with pointing a gun. If you point a gun or throw a deadly object at my deputies, that'll probably be the last stupid decision you make.
Putting that down the hay down there where the horses can get after it, which you do. And I want to point out too, the things that we've talked about here, from your commentary on these dirtbag gangsters that are killing innocent people, or the situation of the citizens in Pritchard, that has all come up, with the dust up over the weekend. You haven't arrived at this just now. I mean, people can go back and we could go hit our archives in the podcast. You've been talking about this for years. Just now, it's the whole community's talking about it, but you've been saying this. Your frustration with this has been long-term.
Yeah, I mean, it's just people have a right to live in peace in their own homes and in their own yards. And the gang members and other violent offenders, they don't always have to be gang members, but you know, they threaten that sanctity of that person's home who's just trying to live their best life. Yeah, and you know, I say often about Pritchard, there are a lot of good people who are still there who worked their whole life, you know, to pay off their home, and now they can't afford to move. But my position is they should not have to move, and it's my job to make sure that they don't have to move.
Okay, we'll have one question here that's more towards some of our normal pacing on Ask the Sheriff. This one comes in and says, Sheriff, I had felony conviction 40 years ago, and I've never looked back. Retired from a chemical plant, raised wonderful children, and have my voting rights back. Now my grandchildren want Paw to hunt with them. How do I go about getting my gun rights back? Thank you.
If it was a state pardon, you apply, and it's really easy, a process to apply. You know, you can do it online. And to get your gun rights back, and then you know if it's federal, you have to get a presidential pardon, obviously. But you know that long ago, unless it was for murder, and then I don't foresee. Especially if you're able to get your voting rights back. You know, the obvious next step is to get your gun rights back, but that can be done pretty much online.
Speaking of online, how about this segue? People want to get more about what's going on with the sheriff's office. Where do they go?
Go to mobileso.com or Team Sheriff Facebook page.
Right. And when they're on there, of course, most people are going to go to see who's in jail. But after that, you said there's a way for us to see like crime in our area of the county and see what's
around. Yeah, it's called My Neighborhood. You can put in your address and set the perimeter of however, geofence, however far you want it out, and it'll show you everything around that area.
Yeah, we appreciate your time, Sheriff.
Pretty much real time.
We'll check it out, and thank you, and we'll talk again next month.
All right. Thank you all.
All right. Mobile County Sheriff Paul Bartsch, our guest, and when we come back, Congressman Jerry Carl joins us right here on Midday Mobile.